I did. There we go. Wonderful. So we're on part four today. And I'm going to read something first. And then we'll get into this. So a young woman brought her fiancé to meet her parents. After dinner, her father asked the young man into his study for a chat. "So what are your plans?" he began. "Well, I'm a theology scholar," the young man replied. "Admirable," the father said. "But what will you do to provide a nice home for my daughter?" "I will study and God will provide," he explained. "And how will you afford to raise children?" "God will provide." So the men left the study and the mother asked her husband, "Well, how did it go?" And so he said, "Well, he has no money or employment plans," the father said. "But on the other hand, he thinks I'm God." So the topic I'm going to speak on this morning is Jesus, our provider. Jesus, our provider. Funny thing is that when I read that joke, it wasn't actually me in reality. It was actually Trish on the other side of that. So just as a side note. What are you going to do with it? Okay. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis 22. Starting at verse 1. I don't hear a lot of wrestling pages, so if you turn on your iPads and Blackberries and all that other stuff, let me hear some digital stuff going on. Okay, if you're there, say, uh-huh. All right. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son. He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac and his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Father, I just thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you that your word brings transformation. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word today. Encourage us, build us up. Father, will we not let your word fall on deaf ears today? Will we not let your word not be rooted and planted in this soil of ours, O Lord? But Father, I pray, O God, that we would hear your heart for us, your bride, your sons and your daughters, for this time, for this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we could see here that Abraham, I don't have time to get into the whole background of things, but first God calls Abraham and he says, get away from your people, get away from your country, leave your father's household, and I'm going to bring you to a new place, a new country. And there he starts to prophesy and say, I'm going to make you a blessing. Anybody that blesses you, I'll bless. Anybody that dishonors you, I'll curse. And so Abraham saddles up everybody. They head to this new land. He takes Lot with him. And so then Abraham, they get to this new place after leaving Haran. And then Lot and Abraham have some differences with the land. And so Abraham says, okay, you take that land, I'll go over here. And of course, Lot wasn't supposed to go with Abraham. So he gets himself into a lot of trouble. Abraham goes, bails him out from, or pleads, actually intercedes on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he knew Lot was there and he didn't want a lot of people to be killed there. So he pleads to God to save, you know, starts going down if there's 40, if there's, and he goes down, he says, if there's a couple of people there, will you save them? And of course, God doesn't. And so, but he saves Lot. And so, as time goes on, there's another strife in Abraham's life, and that's what's with Sarai and with and with Hagar. And of course, Abraham couldn't have any, or Sarah couldn't have any children. And so what happens now is that Sarah decides, okay, well, I can't have any kids, so why don't you sleep with Hagar? And so Hagar has a son, names him Ishmael. And then what happens next is some time goes on and God promises Abraham and Sarah that I'm going to give you a son of promise. And they laugh. I'm sorry, Sarah laughs at this whole thing. Says, you're going to actually give me a son. Me, with my wrinkled knees, with my, as old as I am, you're actually going to give me a son. And so what happens next now is Abraham and Sarah do have a son. And they call him Isaac. The promise comes to pass. And so we can see by reading this now, how many of you know that God has a plan? God has a plan. And so God's provision always has a plan. And so God had a plan when he saw that the earth was void and said, let there be light. God had a plan when he saw that he needed someone to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so he created man. So he had a plan when he saw that man was alone and made woman out of the ribs of Adam. God had a plan when he heard the groanings of the children of Israel and sent Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt. God had a plan when Moses struck the rock, when God said, speak to the rock. And now Moses couldn't take the people into the promised land. So he raises up Joshua. God had a plan when he saw that man needed to be reconciled back to God. And so he sent his son to die on the cross. God has a plan that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Say, God has a plan. God has a plan. So you see, God had a plan for Abraham. However, sometimes there is a test within the plans of God. And for the men yesterday, this was a great segue. If you were here at the men's breakfast and Michael spoke on men and providing. And let me just preface this with with this. Provision is not about money. Okay? Provision is not about things. Okay? Provision, the provider, has a name, and is Jesus. Okay? And so, how many of us love details? You love details. I know my beautiful wife loves details. I'm not really much of a detailed person. It depends on the context. So if you give me directions, I'm the type of guy that doesn't like to hear, turn left here, turn right here. I like when you say, okay, you want to get to the mall. Okay, so you're going to go down this street for 3 kilometers. You're going to turn right. You're going to see the mall on this side. You're going to see this store on this side, and you're gonna keep going, and you're gonna pass the DQ, and then I'm gonna do a pit stop at DQ, and then I'm gonna keep going to my destination. But I like those kind of details. I'm not the type of guy that likes to know. Well, okay, so here's the agenda. We're gonna go. This is what I'm gonna do first. This next, and this. It's like, I don't need to know all those kind of details. Just tell me how the plan and how it's gonna, and just tell me the end result. Everything else is, it'll work itself out. That's just my head. So how many of us know that even with Abraham, he must have been like, okay, I'm gonna go to this place, but I have no details. He didn't tell me. And let me go back to say that, women are like that too, with details. A lot of women I know, very detail oriented. I am going to be careful, don't worry. They're very detail oriented. So I mean, when, I don't know if anybody like this has ever happened to you, but you come home and you're there and your wife comes home, or whoever comes home, a female comes home, okay? And what happens next is they go on to say, well, Kevin, you didn't know. Guess what happened to me? I went to a grocery store today and I ran into Sally. And Sally, she told me about her life story. And she told me that, did you know that Sally's husband's wife's, you know that Sally's husband's cousin, they don't have a place to stay. And so I told her how, I know somebody that has a place, and then they can go and you can get to that person, and they just go through this whole detail. And all I really wanted to know was what was for supper. Sorry. Thank you, Michael. So Abraham's brain must have been going 100 miles an hour at this point. Why would God do this to me? Why would God do this to us? Isaac was a child of promise. Nations were supposed to come through this boy, through me. Me and Sarah waited 25 years for this promise. And now he wants me to go and kill my son. What kind of sense is that? What kind of God is that? Anybody ever been there? Somehow I can hear Abraham saying, "What you talking about, God?" In that different strokes kind of way, Willis. "What you talking about, Willis?" Or if we really want to be religious, we say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I did not hear. That cannot be of God." And so we think sometimes that God really doesn't know what he's doing. Why would you say that, Kevin? Because this. Because our actions, our emotions, and everything that spews off of our tongue suggests that. See, we're discovering what God's able to do. God is not discovering what he's able to do. He knew he was God before anybody was there to tell him he was God. He knew he was able before anyone was there to tell him he was able. He knew he was a healer before there was sickness. He knew he was a provider before the first problem ever showed itself. And so sometimes God will use the test to train our ear to hear his voice under the pressure. And we say to God, I can't pay my bills. My mortgage is due. I need a new job. And all God is saying, just walk with me. Your steps have been ordered by me. And when you get to there, the provision will be made for your next step. Step by step by step. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. And so we see Abraham knew to go to Moriah. However, the place of sacrifice was still a mystery. And in verse 3 it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So Abraham starts to go up to the goes up the mountain with Isaac. Do you think Abraham was having these strategy sessions with himself? What if I didn't hear God? Or let me see if I can try and delay this thing and see if God changes his mind. You see, God had everything worked out even before he called to test Abraham. And God was already at the end staring at Abraham from the beginning. And so to think that to travel for 3 days, a lot of stuff had to happen in his mind. He must have been battling a lot of stuff. Stuff that I've already gone over. And I'm sure the doubt, the discouragement, the fear of the unknown started to creep in. And any time that fear and doubt and discouragement creep in, the only reason why it tries to creep in is to prevent you from fulfilling your purposes. So Abraham travels for 3 days. But I bet you in the midst of all this struggle going on in his head, he starts to think about the goodness of God. He starts to think about the times past that God had come through for him. And so he starts to think how God was faithful to me in Egypt despite my lying and weakness. God was faithful to me in my failed attempt with Ishmael. And despite all my doubts, he fulfilled his promise of a son. And what starts to happen is then in verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. You see, I believe that through these three, on that third day, it clicked. And the revelation of who God he served was and is and always is. You see, he understood that even if I went and killed my son, I'm still going to come back with my son. Even if God raises him from the dead, he's coming back. Through hell or high water, my son is coming back, and then we're going to go back to Sarah. Because I know I can't go back to Sarah with a dead son. And so he lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place. And can you picture with me that Isaac and Abraham are going, and finally he lifts up his eyes, and he says, that's the place. That's the place. And Isaac says, you're sure? He's like, I know. I know in my knower that I know. I don't know how my knower knows, but I know that that is the place. See, that's the place. That's the place of my new house. That's the place of my new job. That's the place where God will provide for me. That's the place. And he tells the young men to stay. And so the young men stay. And he told the young men that he and his son were going to worship and that they would be back. Abraham didn't tell the time of the return. He just said, we will be back, and to wait there until they returned. And I'll jump to verse 7. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And you see, Isaac's tone to me suggests that they've done this before. And usually there's an animal involved. And so Isaac's saying, father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but I think there's something missing. And Abraham, or I like to call Abe stands up and says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. In other words, we've come this far, and because I know God, he will take care of us. And so we as his sons and his daughters, we have to determine in our hearts that we are going to stop worrying and being anxious and let God be God. Say, let God be God. In verse 9, it says, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Notice that Isaac didn't resist. It's amazing to me. Kind of dumbfounded about it. That Isaac was a man about 25 years old. So he knew, if he was alive, bound me on a piece of wood, and he says, okay, I'm going to kill you. There's going to be some struggle. But no. Silently, without a struggle, without resistance, he laid on the wood. Sound familiar? Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Third thing is, God's provision is always perfect. God's provision is always perfect. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Once again, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Sorry, I just love that. How they say it. And so you see, Abraham finds out now that it was a test. It was a test. And for some of us in here today, it's a test. It was never about Abraham killing his son. It was about, was Abraham willing to kill his son? It was a heart issue. It was a heart issue. And for a lot of us in here this morning, what you're going through, what even my family is going through, it's a test. It's a test. Because you see, if I look at the goodness and the kindness of God, It's stuff like, some of you may not know, but with Olivia, I mean, we wanted to have a baby and we had Olivia. And then we felt God, you know, saying, have another child. And we tried and we tried and we tried, even went as far as fertility. And so then we thought we were never going to have a baby, so we even talked about having an adoption, going through the adoption process. And so that's why I kind of relate with this story in terms of how Abraham must have felt. Because then we receive our promise, which was Zara. And we received our promise. And if God was to say, okay, now go kill Zara, we would have some fine words. But the fact of it remains that he promised. He never said how long it would take, but he promised. And then we had our beautiful Zara. And I remember even on many times that we've been on, that Trish has been on mat leave, especially when we were with Olivia. Trust me, I know how it feels to only be making under 20K and still and still providing for a family, okay? Men, I know that, okay? Trish and I got married, and I didn't even know how I was even going to afford being, if this makes any sense, afford being a husband in terms of my provision. Because every month we were about $2,000 in a hole that we could not understand how we were going to get this. And yet month after month after month, for 12 months, God provided. And it was not just about finances. God provided meals. God provided in this way. God provided in that way. God provided gas. God provided this way. And so you see, for a lot of us in here, we think it's well, God's not hearing me and God's not answering me. When really God just wants your heart. He really just wants the attention. It's a test. It's a test. And I'm not sure who that was for, but I just was impressed to share that. There is a ram in the thicket for you. Say it. Say, there's a ram in the thicket for me. There's a ram in the thicket for me. You're worried about selling your house. God's provision has already been made. You're worried about finding a new job. Your new job has already been provided. Whatever you're facing today, know that there's a ram in the thicket for you. You see, picture this. While Abraham was going up one side of the mountain, God's provision was coming up on the other side of the mountain. And for some of us in here, we think that the provision has not been made, but the provision has already been made, and all God is asking us to catch up to where the provision is. So on the one side of our issues, of our problems, of our circumstances, God is already on the other side of the mountain with a provision for it, with an answer for it. And please, my heart is, do not take this message as a hyped up message. As, yeah, now we can go conquer the world. That's not my heart in this. My heart is for us to grasp that God is, was, and always has been our provider. Men, we are not the provider. We are not the provider. It was the one thing, sorry, I just had to say that. That was the one thing that I had to get the revelation of. That I was not the provider. He was my provider. And time's going, and there's so much in my heart. But I just felt the Holy Spirit say this. He will be there when you get there. I don't know who that's for, but He'll be there when you get there. The fact is, He's already there. See, God's provision is always, one, perfect in its timing, perfect in its method, perfect in its supply, perfect in its strategy, perfect in its identity. His provision is perfect because He's perfect. The Lord will provide. There's places in our lives, if the musicians can come back up, there's places in our lives, specific times in our lives, when we, like Abraham, declared on this mountain, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. See, for me, it was when we were on mat leave. How can you explain being $2,000 in the hole every month and not knowing where it's going to come from, and month after month, God supplies? And what I felt was this, is we need to remember those places, those specific places in our lives where it was beyond a shadow of a doubt that God supplied and God provided for our needs. And guess what? All of us have them. All of us have those places, those specific times where we know that we know in our knower that God provided. But for some reason, another situation happens and we don't remember it anymore. And what God wants us to do is remind yourself of those places that I provided for you in the past. Remember those times that I came through for you. Because it was actually me. It actually wasn't your neighbor. It wasn't your job. It wasn't your family member. It wasn't the person at the local gas station. I used them to bless you. But it was actually me. It was actually me that provided for you. And all of us have those times, those places. And all of us need to remember it. I'll tell you the truth. I need to remember it right now. Trisha and I both need to remember it right now. And for many of you guys, we need to remember how God provided for us. I just hope you hear. It's not even my heart. I believe it's really just the heart of the Father just wanting us just to get this. It's almost like it's not even a begging, but get it. I've always been there providing for you each and every step of the way. Remember those times. Stop doubting. Stop being worried. Stop being anxious. Remember those times. As the Bible says, and He talks about providing for the birds of the air, and He takes care of everybody else. That's why I love that song, His Eyes on the Sparrow. And I know He watches me. He's got your back. He has good things for you. He never meant to make you cry. He never meant to hurt your heart. He never meant for you to struggle the way you're struggling. But all He wants is just to know Will you still trust me? Will you still believe me? I'm sorry I'm taking so much time, but do you trust that whatever happens, I will fulfill my purpose, my promise? Do you trust that the storm can keep playing? Do you trust that the storm will not destroy you? Thank you. Will you obey me even when it doesn't seem to make sense? Will you go where I ask you to go? Will you do what I ask you to do? Will you say what I ask you to say? We can never see the hand of God move on our behalf until we step out beyond our own abilities and challenge God's word. Seeing the greatness of God can only come when we exercise great faith. He is our provider. So Kevin, and I'll just go through this really fast. What does this all mean? How does this relate back to Jesus? See, Abraham offered his only son. God offered his only son. Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice. Jesus carried the cross for our sacrifice. Isaac cried out to his father. Jesus cried out to his father. Isaac escaped death after 3 days. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Abraham indicated God will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. God provided Jesus as the lamb for the sacrifice. God provided a ram, a male sheep, as a substitutionary sacrifice. God provided a male, Jesus, as our substitutionary sacrifice. The ram was caught by its horns, his head, in a thicket which represents the thorns. And Jesus wore a crown of thorns on his head, a symbol of sin he bore. Sacrifice offered at a specific location, which was Mount Moriah. And if you go through history, you know this, that the second temple that Solomon built was in that area. And in that same area is where Jesus was crucified on the cross. The ram was God's provision. Jesus is, was, and always will be our provision. If you can just stand with me. If there's any of us here that are going through some stuff, whatever it is, you just need God to provide for you. You need a job. You need a new home. Maybe you just need a mediator. And Jesus is your mediator. He is your high priest. And I can go through list upon list upon list, but at the end of the day, God wants to provide for you. And however you need Him to provide for you, you know. I just want to encourage you to come to the front. You just come to the front. For some of us, there's some pressing stuff, and we need God to provide. We need just a word from Him. Just to let me know that it's all going to be okay, God. Let me know that I'm going to the right place. Let me know I'm going in the right direction. Let me know. Just let me know. If that's you, I'm going to ask the team to come.